Welcome to the A Catholic Life Podcast. I am Matthew, the author of A Catholic Life, welcoming you to episode 56 of the A Catholic Life Podcast. In today's episode on Laetare Sunday, I'm happy to address the following topics. First and foremost, the readings and spirituality for this fourth Sunday of Lent, which we know of as Laetare Sunday. It is one of my favorite Sundays in the church's year, and I'm happy to go over those today. Secondly, on a related note, I address Laetare Sunday as Mothering Sunday. This custom, which is not as well known as it used to be in the English-speaking world, is something we can revive in our own lives. And lastly, I address the great ideas, the 10 great ideas in particular, for Lenten almsgiving that I'm going to encourage people to really reflect upon. As we enter the midpoint of Lent, a lot of us, hopefully, are engaging strongly in fasting, in prayer, and in almsgiving, but I find that almsgiving sometimes can become very much a third and forgotten pillar of Lent. So I go over some great ideas on how we can better incorporate Lent and almsgiving the second half of Lent and finish on a strong note. But before I do so, I'd like to stop and thank the sponsor for today's episode. This episode is sponsored by PrayLatin.com. PrayLatin.com offers Latin prayer cards to learn and share prayers in the sacred language. Learn your basic prayers in Latin conveniently on the go. Practice your pronunciation with easy-to-follow English phonetic renderings of Latin words. PrayLatin.com offers prayer cards in various formats, including Latin English rosary pamphlets with the traditional 15 mysteries. Shop for additional Latin resources like missal booklets, server response cards, and much more. Please visit PrayLatin.com today. Now on to the first topic of today's episode. This is Laetare Sunday, one of the Sundays in the church year that we are commanded to rejoice. This word from the introit, Laetare, means rejoice. And specifically, the introit says, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, and come together all you who love her. Rejoice with joy, you who have been in sorrow, that you may exult and be filled with the abundance of consolation. I rejoice at the tidings that were told to me. We will go into the house of the Lord." This is what Dom Guéranger writes in the liturgical year for this fourth Sunday of Lent. Quote, "This Sunday called from the first word of the introit, Laetare Sunday, is one of the most solemn of the year. The church interrupts her Lenten mournfulness. The changes of the Mass speak of nothing but joy and consolation. The organ, which has been silent during the preceding three Sundays, now gives forth its melodious voice. The deacon resumes his dalmatic, and the subdeacon his tunic, and instead of purple, rose-colored vestments are allowed to be used. These same rites were practiced in Advent on the third Sunday called Gaudete. The Church's motive for introducing this expression of joy in today's liturgy is to encourage her children to persevere fervently to the end of this holy season. The real mid-Lent was last Thursday, as we have already observed, but the Church, fearing lest the joy might lead to some infringement on the spirit of penance, has deferred her own notice of it to this Sunday, when she not only permits but even bids her children to rejoice." Dom Guéranger continues, quote, "The station at Rome is in the Basilica of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, one of the seven principal churches of the Holy City. It was built in the 4th century by the Emperor Constantine in one of his villas, on which account it goes under also the name of the Caesarian Basilica. The emperor's mother, St. Helena, enriched it with most precious relics and wished to make it the Jerusalem of Rome. With this intention, she ordered a great quantity of earth taken from Mount Calvary to put on the site. Among the other relics of the instruments of the Passion which she gave to this church was the inscription which was fastened to the cross. It is there, and it is called the title of the cross. The name of Jerusalem, which has been given to this basilica, and which recalls to our minds the heavenly Jerusalem towards which we are tending, suggested the choice of it as today's station. Up to the 14th century, when Avignon became for a time the city of the popes, the ceremony of the golden rose took place in this church. At present, it is blessed in the palace where the sovereign pontiff happens to be residing at this season." End quote. Now, I have been privileged to attend and visit the Basilica of Holy Cross in Jerusalem before. It is a wonderful place, as it does have, as Dom Guérin-Jay mentions, the actual inscription which hung above the head of our Blessed Lord. It is also there that you can see, for instance, some of the nails which actually pierced our Blessed Lord on the cross, and other very precious relics are housed there and exposed for veneration. I was privileged to be able to go there and to touch my rosary to the glass in front of many of these and to pray for a few moments several years ago during Lent at this holy place. Now, Lautare Sunday is a Sunday of great joy, and it is seen in the vestments as well. Some people will lighten their Lenten penance of fasting and of, well, particularly of abstinence on this particular Sunday. As I mentioned before, abstinence would continue throughout all the Sundays of the Lenten season. Some people will mitigate that somewhat now as an effort to have some additional joy into the Lenten season. On this particular day, as we are commanded to rejoice, we see it in the organ, we see it in the rose vestments. Something I do want to note, and I've seen this done at some places that have the traditional Latin masses, the priest will wear the rose-colored vestment this upcoming week, several days throughout the week, as if he was repeating the Sunday Mass. That is not correct. Same thing with Gaudete Sunday. The rose-colored vestment is an option to be used only on that particular Sunday. You do not resume it throughout the week. And unfortunately, that is an error I've seen before at some places. I do want to point that out. That is only today, on this particular Sunday, that the rose-colored vestment is worn. But on to the second and related topic of this episode, I'd really like to address Lautare Sunday as Mothering Sunday. This is something mentioned in detail in one of the catechismclass.com lessons for particular program put out on Catechism Class regarding the Lenten season. There's different lessons for every single Sunday of Lent. These lessons go over not just catechism passages, but also traditional scripture readings, commentary on them, writings of the saints, different liturgical customs, recommendations on how to go further into liturgical life. I've talked about catechismclass.com lessons before, and the Lautare Sunday lesson has a lot of particular information on Lautare Sunday as Mothering Sunday. And it's Mothering Sunday because of the epistle reading, which speaks of how not just the Jews, but those who come to Christ regardless of their ancestry are inheritors of Abraham's promise. And the epistle from today is Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 to 31. Now, the old practice of visiting the cathedral or mother church of the diocese on this day is another reason for its name. In England, natural mothers are honored today too, in a manner rather like that of Americans' Mother's Day. Spring bulb flowers like daffodils, for instance, are given to mothers, and there's a special cake made to celebrate the occasion. This cake also has become an Easter cake of late. This particular cake is called simnel cake, and simnel, that word, comes from the Latin simila, a high-grade flower. Now, the rose vestments of Lautare Sunday is also a custom originating the fact that, as I mentioned, is a symbol of joy and hope in the middle of this somber season. And related to this is, I shared a little bit in that passage from Dom Guérin-Jay, there was a custom of the golden rose, which takes place on this Mothering Sunday. Popes used to carry a golden rose in their right hand when returning from the celebration of Mass on this day. Way back in the year 1051, Pope Leo IX gave this custom an ancient institution. Originally, it was a natural rose, then a single golden rose of natural size, but since the 15th century, it has consisted of a cluster or a branch of roses. The rose given by the popes is, for instance, was given to a shrine at Knock before. And this particular golden rose was made with pure gold in brilliant workmanship by very famous artists. The Pope would bless one every year and confer it upon churches, shrines, cities, or distinguished persons as a token of esteem and paternal affection. In case of such a bestowal, a new rose is made during the subsequent year. The golden rose represents Christ in the shining splendor of his majesty, the flower sprung from the root of Jesse, and it is blessed with a very beautiful prayer, which goes as follows, quote, O God, by whose word and power all things have been created, by whose will all things are directed, we humbly beseech thy majesty, who are the joy and gladness of all the faithful, that thou wouldest deign in thy fatherly love to bless and sanctify this rose most delightful in odor and appearance, which we this day carry in sign of spiritual joy, in order that the people consecrated by thee and delivered from the yoke of Babylonian slavery through the favor of thy only begotten Son, who is the glory and exaltation of the people of Israel, and of that Jerusalem which is our heavenly mother, may with sincere hearts show forth their joy. Wherefore, Lord, on this day, when the church exalts in thy name and manifests her joy by this sign, confer upon us through her true and perfect joy in accepting her devotion of today, do thou remit sin, strengthen faith, increase piety, protect her in thy mercy, drive away all things adverse to her, and make her way safe and prosperous, so that thy church is the fruit of good works, may unite in giving forth the perfume of the ointment of that flower which sprung from the root of Jesse, and which is the mystical flower of the field and the lily of the valleys, and remain happy without end in eternal glory, together with all the saints. End quote. So this particular day on Mothering Sunday is a great day for us, if we're able to visit the cathedral in our diocese, to pray there for the traditional Catholic faith to triumph, not only just in that cathedral, but throughout the entire diocese that each of us are in, that the Catholic faith will reign once more, that the errors of those who attack the church from within and without will truly be suppressed, and that we will have the joy of knowing that this will be accomplished one day through the reign of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, one day on this earth. So Mothering Sunday, not just an interesting historical day, particularly for England to honor natural mothers, but also a day for us to spiritually pray for our Holy Mother the Church and our Mother Church in each diocese, that is the cathedral. And also, of course, a great day for us to pray for our mothers, for our actual mothers, for our godmothers, for our grandmothers, and for all mothers as well, especially indeed for the pro-life cause too as well. But the last topic I'd also like to talk about on this particular episode is a list of recommendations, particularly 10 traditional Catholic charities worth of focus for our almsgiving this particular Lent. This goes back to an article I wrote way back in March of 2012, which I have modified several different times, including with some modifications in the past few weeks. In this article, I list a number of great charities that we might want to donate to this particular Lenten season. I have modified those and made additions over the year. I'll have a link in the show notes. You can check them out and follow the links. But it's important to note that Lent truly must be built upon Lenten almsgiving. I focus a lot about recovering fasting and abstinence, but if you think about it, if we're truly engaging in fasting and abstinence, we have, one, a lot of extra time because we're not preparing meals, we're not eating meals, and we can use that extra time for prayer, one of the other pillars of Lent. But secondly, if we're not giving so much time and money to the procurement of food and we're eating much more simply because we're not buying meat, or some of us, we're not even buying any dairy products or seafood, it's a vegan diet, we're eating less and we're eating more simple food, so we have extra money, that helps us with our Lenten almsgiving as well. So we don't have to go out and find money that some people might otherwise don't have. We simply can take the money we've saved. In fact, some of the church's saints have been very clear that all of this truly relates very well together, that we should not enrich ourselves through Lent by eating less and have all this extra money for ourselves to spend afterwards, but that this really helps us undergo for our Lenten almsgiving. And Lenten almsgiving is something that we can really focus on in a particular way on Lautare Sunday. Lautare Sunday marks the half point through the Lenten season, and it's a great day for us to reflect on how we have been doing so far with our almsgiving. Have we been making our Lenten alms? So on this particular list of recommendations, I have a number of places, from the Fatima Center to various orphanages and missions, to different foundations in other countries to spread the faith, to traditional Catholic schools, ways to support them, for instance, with the Box Tops for Education program. I have a link as well to many different traditional Catholic monasteries and convents. If you've ever read the book, How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization by Thomas Woods, you should recall that in chapter 3, he really related in great detail the countless achievements that monasticism brought to our forefathers, not just to, of course, the spiritual focus of the church, but very much to helping preserve, for instance, these great works of literacy and priceless books of antiquity, countless works of charity, as well as even the creation of Champagne, the first wide-scale use of water power, the cultivation of agriculture, which made modern cities a reality, the clearing of immense areas of previously uninhabitable land, creation of complex astronomical clocks, and dozens of other significant accomplishments. All of this, we owe a deep debt to the monks for their work to building up our society. And we can and should pray for them and financially support them. So I have a link to a number of great orders for men and a number of great orders for women as well. On this list, I also list some great traditional Catholic radio stations that you can support by listening to their programs or donating to them. There's also great ways to give mass stipends. If you're looking to have masses said for a family member alive or deceased, or if you want to encourage other people to support, of course, the traditional Latin mass and have masses offered for this intentions, I have a link so that way you can support priests or orders who are accepting online mass stipend requests. I also have a link to 10 wonderful Catholic alternatives to whether it be Starbucks or to any secular coffee company. We can use really some of these extra funds we have. And instead of buying what we might have normally done, we can buy and support a Catholic alternative. So there's 10 listed Catholic coffee alternatives that I encourage people to support, some of which I even have negotiated discount codes with some of these places. So if you check it out, you can try some of their coffee at a quite affordable price. And lastly, there's a separate list I have of 12 pro-life Catholic causes worth supporting. Unfortunately, it is a case that there are pro-life charities out there that are very anti-Catholic, very pro-Protestant. I do not support those, but there are some very great pro-life causes that are also Catholic and supporting of our faith as well. And those are the ones I'd like to call your attention to. It's my hope that this compilation will aid all of you during this Lent and afterwards in making donations to organizations that are truly Catholic and faithful to the enduring traditions of the Church. If you know of more organizations also worthy of support, please do visit that post and leave a link and more information in the comment section there. But again, this link, you'll want to check it out in the show notes to today's episode for much more information. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I pray that the Lenten fast is treating you well, and I hope and pray that all of you can continue to go much deeper into prayer, fasting, almsgiving, spiritual reading, daily examination of conscience, the rosary, daily mass, and all these other practices which underscore Catholic life in a much greater detail as we now enter the second half of the Lenten fast. May God bless you, grant you a most blessed week, and thank you so much for listening. Ad Maiorem. Dei Gloriam.
Quid olis peccata